Hello, this is Brian Tracy, and welcome to the 21st century. Put up your tray tables, straighten your seat back, and fasten your seat belt, because we are now entering into the most exciting time in all of human history. And because you are listening to this program, you have a front row seat. You are at the head of the line, at the front of the crowd. In the months ahead, you are going to have more, do more, and be more than perhaps you ever imagined possible before. We are entering into the golden age of mankind, and you are uniquely positioned to enjoy the rewards and possibilities of this age faster than anyone else. Here's a question. How can you tell who a person really is? How can you determine what kind of a person you are talking to? How can you determine what their true values, beliefs, and goals really are? Is it by what they say? By what they intend? By what they hope, plan, wish, or dream about? Is it what they say or write? Or is it what they promise when they run for public office? How can you tell who a person really is? And the answer is simple. You can only tell who a person really is by looking at what they do. It is not what you wish or hope or intend that counts, but only what you actually do on a day-to-day basis, and especially what you do under pressure. Less than 10% of adults read all the books, attend all the courses, and listen to all the audio programs like this. These are the 10% who own the future. These are the 10% who will know what they need to know and do what they need to do to become masters of change rather than victims of change. And since you are listening to this program, you are obviously among that top 10%, not because of what you wish or hope or intend, but because of what you are doing right now. You are members of the talented 10th. You are members of an elite. You don't wait for things to happen, you make them happen. You don't hope for opportunities, you go out and create your own opportunities. You don't follow the paths left by others, you go where there is no path and blaze your own trail. The very act of committing yourself to continuous learning moves you to the front of the line in life. It enables you to take full control over your future destiny. Many years ago, as a young man, growing up poor, without any education or skills, I began asking the question, why is it that some people are more successful than others? I've spent more than 30 years and I've read hundreds and thousands of books and articles. I've listened to thousands of hours of audio programs and spent thousands of hours in courses and seminars seeking the answer to this simple question. Why is it that some people are more successful than others? Perhaps the greatest discovery in the science of success was articulated by Ralph Waldo Emerson more than 150 years ago. He said, "A man becomes what he thinks about most of the time." In this century, Earl Nightingale revolutionized an entire generation with what he called the strangest secret of success. It was, "You become what you think about." Just imagine, everything you are and everything you ever will be is determined by the way you think. If you change the quality of your thinking, you change the quality of your life. You've heard the old saying, if you sow a thought, you reap an action. If you sow an action, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you reap a character. And if you sow a character, you reap a destiny. To put it another way, you may not be what you think you are, but what you think you are. All causation in your life is mental. You are where you are and what you are because of the way you think. Everything you have in your life, you have attracted into your life because of your dominant thoughts. The good news is that you can have more and be more because you can change the person you are. You can change the things you think about and the way you think about those things. And by changing the way you think, your destiny and your potential can become unlimited. You are not only what you do, you are how you think. If you think in a clear, calm, constructive, and positive way toward yourself and others, your external world will be organized, successful, and characterized by high achievement. If, on the other hand, you think in a negative, angry, confused, or unrealistic way, your external world will be a continuous succession of problems in your personal and your business life. In every case, you are always free to choose. Only you can choose the thoughts you think. And by choosing those thoughts, you choose your emotions and then your actions. And by choosing your thoughts, emotions, and actions, you create your entire world. Perhaps the most important factor in our lives today is the speed and impact of change. Information in every field is doubling every 2 to 3 years. This means that your knowledge and skill must be doubling every 2 to 3 years just for you to stay even. Technology is exploding in all directions. As Andrew Grove of Intel said recently, the first law of technology is that anything that can be done by technology will be done by technology, and probably sooner rather than later. And simultaneous with the growth of technology and the explosion of information is the proliferation of competition in every field. Because of this aggressive competition, you will have to become smarter and better every week, every month, every year, just to stay even. For you to live and enjoy the wonderful life that is possible for you, you will have to continually outthink and leapfrog your competition, both locally, nationwide, and worldwide on a regular basis. The purpose of this program is to give you the tools that you need to survive and thrive in the exciting months and years ahead. The purpose of this program is to give you a set of special skills and insights practiced by the most successful men and women of our time. When you think the way the most successful people think, you will act the way the most successful people act, and you will get the results that the most successful people get. Some years ago, the writer and historian Arnold Toynbee wrote a multi-volume study of civilizations and history throughout the ages. His conclusions were so sweeping and profound that he was awarded a Nobel Prize for his work. Toynbee studied the life cycles of 28 great civilizations of history to find out what they had in common. His central conclusion was very important, and it applies to your life today. Toynbee developed what he called the challenge-response theory of history. Toynbee found that every large civilization began as a small group or tribe of people that was confronted with a challenge from the outside, usually a challenge from other hostile peoples. In order to survive, the small group had to respond effectively to this challenge. If it did respond effectively, it would conquer its enemy and grow stronger. However, in growing larger and stronger, it would come up against another enemy and would again be challenged from the outside. In order to survive, the small group had to respond effectively to this challenge. If it did respond effectively, it would conquer its enemy and grow stronger. However, in growing larger and stronger, it would come up against another enemy and would again be challenged from the outside. If the growing tribe responded effectively to the larger challenge, it would continue to grow and eventually collide with another challenge that would force it to respond again, in this case differently. As long as the tribe continued to respond effectively to the inevitable challenges of survival and growth, it continued to grow stronger until the most successful tribes formed empires, kingdoms, and ultimately civilizations. The German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche once wrote, "Whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger." And whatever applies to individuals usually applies to groups of individuals like companies and other organizations. Your life is a continuous succession of problems, difficulties, obstacles, defeats, disappointments, and challenges. They never end. They start in early childhood, and they continue throughout your life. Despite your best efforts to avoid these difficulties and challenges, they come in any case, unbidden, whether you want them or not. The only thing over which you have any control is the way you respond to these challenges. If you respond effectively, you continue to grow and become stronger. If you respond ineffectively, the challenges can overwhelm you and cause you emotional, physical, and financial setbacks, if not complete reversals in life. Your job, then, is to respond effectively to the inevitable challenges that you will face throughout your life. And the better and more constructively you think, as you will learn in this program, the stronger and more powerful you will become in responding efficiently and effectively to the inevitable and unavoidable difficulties that life will throw at you. In a popular movie, there is a scene where the new, young executive is given a major and difficult assignment his first day on the job. He turns to his boss and asks, "Is this a test?" His boss looks him in the eye and answers, "Isn't everything?" It's a great line and a great observation. Everything in life is a test. The only question is whether or not you pass or fail. Every problem or difficulty you have is a test. Every large or small crisis you face is a test. Every challenge in your relationships with regard to your customers, your finances, your business, and your future is a test. The only question is how well do you respond to the test? Do you rise to the challenge and meet it effectively, or do you allow it to overwhelm you? Do you become calm, cool, and creative, or do you become angry, upset, and frustrated? The challenge is inevitable. The response is always up to you. Most people function in what is called the reactive-responsive mode. They react unthinkingly to things that happen to them and around them. They respond emotionally and angrily to frustrations, setbacks, and difficulties. Instead of taking the time to stop, think, and respond in an effective and constructive way, they allow events to overwhelm them, like waves from the ocean. However, the men and women who reach positions of responsibility in our society, the leaders at every level, are those who have developed the quality of thoughtfulness. They have learned how to think better and more effectively than the average person. And this brings us to one of the most important principles of success. It is called the law of integrative complexity. This law says that in any group of individuals, the individual who is able to integrate the greatest amount of information and then make effective decisions based on that information will eventually come to dominate all the other individuals in that group. The measure of how effective and intelligent you are as a human being is largely determined by how well you can integrate different pieces of information that enable you to analyze and make good decisions upon which to act. This is why people with more experience are usually far more effective than people with less experience. They have more individual pieces of information with which to work when facing a new situation that may have parallels with previous situations. General Robert E. Lee, after his Confederate forces had won a series of important victories against superior Union forces, once said that, "The only thing I fear is that the Union will field a general against me who thinks better than I do." General Norman Schwarzkopf, who achieved such a stunning victory in the Gulf War in 1991, served at every level of the U.S. Army for 30 years before being appointed Commander-in-Chief of the Gulf Forces. He had the best training in the world and some of the finest and most in-depth experience possible for a commanding officer. When he took over the forces in the Gulf War, he was thoroughly prepared to completely outthink his opponents in every area. Your job, your goal, is to be a leader. Your job is to rise to the top of your organization and to be a leader in your business, in your family, and in your community. Your job is to make a significant contribution to yourself and to the people who rely on you throughout your journey in life. Your job is to become all you can be. Your job is to continually grow and become better and better and more valuable to yourself and others. In 1962, top aeronautical engineers were saying that it was impossible for a plane to go faster than the speed of sound. They said that there was an invisible wall in the sky at the speed of sound, and that if a plane attempted to exceed this speed, the plane would hit the wall and disintegrate and the pilot would be killed. However, they had not reckoned on one factor. The great test pilot, Chuck Yeager, didn't believe them. He believed that this wall was imaginary, that it was a myth, and that if he flew fast enough, he would go straight through it into smooth air on the other side. And that's exactly what he did. As he went through the sound barrier, the sound of the sonic boom crashed across the desert floor, and another myth about human limitations was destroyed forever. For the next 25 years, the experts all agreed that although it may have been possible that an airplane, flying at high altitude with a limited amount of friction, could go faster than the speed of sound, it was impossible for any machine to do that while staying on the ground. For 25 years, people tried and failed countless times to break the sound barrier on the ground. Then, in 1997, a daring driver with a supersonic car lined it up, put the pedal to the metal, broke the sound barrier on Earth and set the greatest land speed record in history. Another mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, psychological barrier had been broken. It's now time for you to break your success barriers as well. Do you want to be financially independent? Well then, why aren't you? More people are becoming millionaires today at a faster rate than ever before in human history. Somewhere, somehow, every 4.5 minutes, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, someone becomes a self-made millionaire in America. We now have self-made multimillionaires, 100 millionaires, 500 millionaires, billionaires, and even multi-billionaires. Most of the richest men in America today, if not the world, have become wealthy starting with nothing within a single lifetime and even within a single generation. They say that economists are those people who have predicted 18 of the last 2 recessions. Well, the world is full of negative thinkers, naysayers, critics, complainers, and failures who will go to great lengths to tell you and anyone else who will listen that success is no longer possible in America. They will tell you that it's not what you know, it's who you know. They will tell you that all of success is a matter of either dishonesty or luck or a combination of both. These people take great delight in pointing out the occasional business person each year who is accused of dishonest activities. They ignore the hundreds and thousands and millions of honest, hardworking men and women who are doing extraordinary things in their financial lives, usually starting from nothing at all. In fact, most self-made millionaires had either nothing or less than nothing when they started out. Most self-made millionaires in America have been broke or nearly broke more than 3 times. Most self-made millionaires in America have worked 10, 15, and 20 years to achieve financial independence. And it has never been more possible for you to achieve your financial goals than it is here and now in our economy with the opportunities that are surrounding you on all sides. William James of Harvard once wrote, "The greatest revolution of my generation is the discovery that individuals, by changing their inner attitudes of mind, can change the outer aspects of their lives." All causation is mental. When you decide to crash through your own success barriers, you'll find that virtually all of your limits existed largely in your imagination. Your greatest obstacles to success are not outside of yourself, but rather inside yourself. It is the way you think and feel about your possibilities that largely determines what they are and what you become with them. The greatest barriers to success and achievement have always been the twin enemies of fear and doubt. Fear is the biggest obstacle of all, and fear generates the doubt that holds you back. It is fear of failure, fear of loss, fear of poverty, fear of ridicule, fear of embarrassment, fears of all kinds that causes us to put our feet on our own brakes and make excuses instead of making progress. Self-doubt, the failure to believe in your own abilities, fed by fears of all kinds, holds you back from even trying. And fear and doubt work together in your conscious mind to generate rationalizations and justifications for underachievement and failure. Fear and doubt cause you to sell yourself short, to feel inferior to others, and to think that others are better or smarter than you are in some way, when in reality, they're just using their talents more effectively than you are. Here's the truth. No one is smarter than you, and no one is better than you. You are as good and as smart as anyone you will ever meet. But people are like bodybuilders, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Any man has the same 610 muscles that Arnold Schwarzenegger has. But Arnold Schwarzenegger has worked on himself physically for more than 20 years to develop a prize-winning physique. You have the same mental muscles as anyone else as well. Your job is to go to work on your mental muscles and build yourself up so that you have a prize-winning mental physique in the areas for which you are best suited so that you can accomplish the goals that are most important to you. Your intelligence is malleable over a range of about 25 points. This means that no matter how smart you are, you can be vastly smarter by simply going to work and pumping mental iron to build up your mental muscles. With a concentrated physical fitness program, you can become superbly fit physically. With a concentrated mental development program, you can become superbly fit mentally as well. You can become one of the smartest, most competent, and capable people in your field or profession by going to work on your mental muscles in the ways that we will talk about throughout this program. The most important single quality for success in your life and in your relationships is the quality of optimism. Optimism can be defined in several ways. First of all, it is a positive and constructive approach toward yourself and your life. The optimist accepts that life is challenging, but the optimist sees far more possibilities and opportunities than obstacles and difficulties. The optimist is extremely solution-oriented. The optimist, whenever faced with a problem of any kind, stops and asks, "What is the solution? What do we do now? What's the next step?" The optimist is so busy working on the solutions that he or she has no time to sit around worrying about the problems. The optimist is also extremely future-oriented. The optimist thinks in terms of the next step. What do we do now? Where are we going? And how are we going to get there? The optimist looks for the good in every person and in every situation. The optimist looks for the valuable lesson in every setback or difficulty. The optimist is always seeking a way to benefit from the inevitable challenges and tests that life throws up. Above all, the optimist is always asking the question, how? This should be your operational question as well. Whenever you think of something that you want to be or have or do, your first question should be, how? And the more you ask the question, how, the less time and energy you'll spend on the various reasons why it may not be possible for you. The better thinking tools you have, the more positive and optimistic you become. The higher becomes your level of integrative intelligence. The more thinking tools you have, the easier it is for you to develop solutions and possibilities that will help you to move ahead faster and further than anyone else in the attainment of your goal. The better you think, the more rapidly you will break through the conscious and unconscious success barriers that may have held you back up until now. The better and more effectively you think, the more confident, positive, and optimistic you will become. And nothing succeeds like success. The more successful you are in attaining your goals and objectives, the happier and more confident you become. And the happier and more confident you become, the more you like and respect yourself. And the more you like and respect yourself, the higher and better goals you set for yourself. And the higher and better goals you set for yourself, the more you accomplish, and the more you like and respect yourself. You put yourself onto an upward spiral in life that leads to ever higher levels of success and achievement in everything you do. One of the most important insights you will ever learn is this. Whatever problem you have has already been solved by someone else somewhere. In other words, whatever goal you have has already been achieved by hundreds and perhaps thousands and even millions of other people already. You do not have to reinvent the wheel. You simply have to find out how they achieve the goal, starting with nothing, and do the same things until you get the same results. Whatever problem you have has already been solved by someone, and often hundreds and thousands of other people. You simply need to find out the solution that they discovered and used effectively, and use it yourself. You will then get the same results that they have. One of the reasons that so many people are succeeding so greatly today is that so many people have succeeded greatly before them. The smartest of all people are those who are out gathering the combined wisdom and knowledge of the other successful people who have gone before them and then applying it to their lives, their work, and their families. When you start to practice the ideas we talk about in this program, you will begin to move ahead further and faster than perhaps you ever imagined before. Throughout all of human history, going back to Thucydides and his History of the Peloponnesian War in 600 BC, the thinking styles and behaviors of the greatest military leaders of all times have been studied exhaustively. These methods of thinking, or principles of military strategy as they are called, are now taught in all the military colleges and schools worldwide. There are 12 principles of strategic thinking that have been used by leading commanders to achieve great military successes in turbulent and chaotic situations, often against overwhelming odds with tremendous disadvantages facing them. As a student of military history, I've always been fascinated by the parallels between the principles of military strategy and the principles of business success. The more I studied these parallels, the more I realized that they are the same principles that account for success in personal life as well. Ways of thinking and acting that have proven effective by the most successful leaders of history in the most difficult of situations can be very helpful in giving us direction and insights on how to handle our inevitable challenges and tests every single day. The goals of military leaders were usually to achieve victory against determined enemies, usually far from home, often vastly outnumbered, with the fate of armies, empires, nations, and even civilizations at stake. Your goals and my goals are much simpler. For example, we want to be healthy and happy, to have good relationships, to be successful in our work, and to achieve financial independence. But in many respects, our goals, to live happy and productive lives, are as important, if not more important to us, than the goals of military leaders at critical points in history. It's all really a matter of proportion and perspective. The 12 principles contained in this program, the thinking tools and keys to breaking your success barriers and achieving your goals faster and easier than ever before, are tools that you can use in every area of your life. These military principles are essential skills that you can add to your mental toolbox to assure that you solve your problems easier, overcome your obstacles more effectively, and achieve your goals more rapidly than you could ever do without them, and more rapidly than anyone else around you. There are virtually no limits on what you can have, be, and do when you break through the mental success barriers between you and your dreams and goals by using the 12 critical thinking principles we'll discuss in this program. The first principle is the principle of the objective. Perhaps the most important word you will ever learn in success is the word clarity. In military terms, the principle of the objective comes before all else. Fuzziness with regard to objectives is the primary reason for failure, frustration, and underachievement in every area of life, including warfare, business, and personal goals. When Dwight D. Eisenhower was sent by Chief of Staff George C. Marshall to Europe to coordinate the Allied forces in World War II, his objective was simple. It was, proceed to London, invade Europe, defeat the Germans. When General Norman Schwarzkopf was sent to the Persian Gulf in 1990, his objective was simple as well. Get the Iraqi army out of Kuwait. In business, the ability to set clear goals and objectives for every part of the business and for every person in every department in the business is the first prerequisite for success and profitability in competitive markets. On the other hand, uncertainty regarding goals and objectives is the primary cause of wasted time and money, demoralization, unhappiness, and lack of direction that plagues so many businesses today. In your life, the principle of the objective refers to your setting clear, specific goals for every part of your life. Your ability to set goals and to make plans for their accomplishment is the master skill of success. With clear goals, you can accomplish almost anything. But without goals of your own, you must always work for someone else who has goals himself or herself. You need goals for your personal life. You need goals for your family life. You need goals for your business and your career. You need personal and professional development goals. You need spiritual goals and goals for inner development. And you need community goals, goals that have to do with the contribution you want to make to your society. Decide today to make the coming year the very best year of your life. Resolve today that no matter what has happened in the past, that was then and this is now. Begin your goal-setting process by imagining that you have no limitations whatsoever on what you can be, have, and do. Imagine that you have all the time and money, all the people and contacts, all the knowledge and skill, and all the resources that you need to achieve anything you want in life. Imagine that you've just won $1 million cash and you have it in the bank. Imagine that you are guaranteed success in any one thing that you set for yourself as a goal. Always start your process of goal setting as if you had no limitations at all and you were starting with a clean sheet of paper to design a wonderful life for yourself. There is a very simple process of goal setting that you can use. There are far more detailed goal setting exercises, all of which are extremely helpful, but here is where you start. First, Decide exactly what you want. Resist the temptation to be fuzzy or vague. For example, if you want to earn more money, decide upon a specific amount of money you want to earn within a specific period of time. If you want to enjoy a certain level of health or weight, be specific and clear about what it would be and how you would measure it. Focus and clarity are absolutely essential to unlocking the incredible powers of your subconscious mind in the attainment of the goals that are important to you. Second, write it down. Only 3% of adults have written goals, and they accomplish more than everyone else put together. A goal that is not in writing is merely a wish. It is like cigarette smoke in the air. It has no substance or power. It has nothing that you can get a hold of. So write it down. Write it clearly, specifically, in detail. The more details you write into your goal, the more rapidly you will attain it. Third, set a deadline. A goal without a deadline is another exercise in wishing and hoping. But when you set a deadline, you actually create a subconscious forcing system that drives you toward the goal and attracts the goal toward you. Fourth, make a list of everything you're going to have to do to achieve the goal. The more items you put on your list, the more intensely you begin to believe that the goal is possible for you. The very act of making a list is self-motivational. It creates confidence and courage within you. It makes you more of an optimist. It gives you a sense of power and a feeling of control over your life. Step number 5 is for you to organize your list by time and priority. Make a plan. Decide what it is you will have to do first and what you will have to do second. Decide what is more important and what is less important. Especially, decide on what is the most important thing that you can do to move you ahead the fastest toward your goal and start in on that. Step number 6 is for you to take action on your plan. All successful people are intensely action-oriented. Do something immediately. Do it now. Get on with it. Step number 7 is for you to do something every day that moves you toward your most important goal. Once you get into motion in the direction of your dreams, refuse to stop. Resist the temptation to slow down or to hesitate. Do something every day to keep the plate spinning, to keep the blood flowing, to keep the momentum moving in a forward direction. One of the very best exercises in goal setting I have ever found is for you to take a blank sheet of paper and to write the word goals at the top of the page. Write down today's date. Then, write down 10 goals that you would like to attain in the next 12 months. Write these goals in the present tense, as if you had already achieved them. For example, if you want to increase your income, you would begin by writing the words, "I earn X number of dollars." If you want to reduce your weight, you would write, "I weigh X number of pounds," as if you had already accomplished it. Write down at least 10 goals. You can write down more if you like, but be sure to write down at least 10. The very act of writing down 10 goals will change your future. If you just put this list away and did not read it for an entire year, when you took it out and read it in 12 months, you would be astonished. 1 year from today, you would find that 80% of your goals have been attained in the most remarkable ways. If you could only accomplish one goal on your list, which one goal would it be? Once you've decided that, then decide what your second most important goal would be, and then your third, and so on. Take your most important goal and put it at the top of a clean sheet of paper. Ask yourself, what additional knowledge and skills will I need to attain this goal? Remember, whatever got you to where you are today is not enough to keep you there. For you to achieve something that you've never achieved before, you're going to have to become someone who you've never been before. There's always some quality, attribute, or skill that you will have to develop to attain a goal that is currently beyond anything you have ever done. So, what is it? What are the obstacles or difficulties that you will have to overcome in order to attain your goal? What is the limiting step or constraint that sets the speed at which you achieve your goal? Is it something in yourself or something in the situation around you? In military terms, the principle of the objective requires that you direct all efforts toward a clearly defined, decisive, and obtainable goal. You continually evaluate and re-evaluate your plan to make sure that your primary objective is still the most important objective that you can attain. The four fundamental qualities of leadership, as they apply to goals, objectives, and to everything else that we discuss in this program, are the qualities of vision, courage, realism, and responsibility. Vision means that you have a clear mental picture of what you want to accomplish and where you want to end up. All leaders have vision. They can see the big picture. They have an exciting image or idea of the ideal future for themselves, their family, their companies, and their customers. What is your vision? What are you trying to accomplish or attain? What will it look like when you achieve it? The second quality of leadership is the quality of courage. This means that you have the inner strength to do whatever it takes to achieve the vision. You have the self-discipline and willpower to practice your highest values. You have the willingness to go forward, to initiate action with no guarantee of success. Courage is a foundation quality of all great success. The third quality of leadership is the quality of realism or intellectual honesty. This means that you have the ability and willingness to deal with the world as it is rather than as you wish it were. You are honest about your strengths and weaknesses, and the strengths and weaknesses of your company and your situation. You don't fool yourself or practice self-delusion. You are perfectly honest and objective about who you are, about what you want to accomplish, and what you will have to do to get from here to there. The fourth quality of leadership is responsibility. This means that you accept that you are where you are and what you are because of yourself. You refuse to make excuses or to blame anyone else. You refuse to complain or criticize. You say that, if it's to be, it's up to me. Leaders think about the future. Leaders project forward 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 years. Where do you want to be in 5 years? If everything works out perfectly for you, what will it look like? Remember, this is the very best time in all of human history to be alive. There have never been more opportunities and possibilities for you in all of human history than exist today. And the only real limits on what you can do, have, and be are the limits that you impose on your own thinking, either because of your own doubts and fears or because you are not yet applying the thinking skills practiced by the most successful men and women in history. In the next session, we'll talk about the second principle of military strategy, the principle of the offensive. We will talk about how important it is to decide upon specific actions and then to do something about them. But, as soon as you can, take a blank sheet of paper, write out your 10 goals, organize them by priority, select the most important goal, and then make a plan for its attainment. Then, every single day, do something specific and tangible that moves you at least one step closer to your goal. When you begin to implement the principle of the objective into every part of your life, and you begin to work from clear, specific, written goals, you will be on your way to breaking the success barrier. Action orientation is the most common single quality of all successful people. Get going. Get busy. Move fast. Develop a sense of urgency. Develop a compulsion to closure, a bias for action. Fast tempo is essential to success. All strategic planning is aimed at action now. All decision making must evolve into action now. All thinking, hoping, dreaming, and goal setting must be translated into action now. You express who you are and what you are in no other way. Action is everything. The second principle of war is the principle of the offensive. According to West Point, the principle of the offensive is simple. It is seize, retain, and exploit the initiative. In adhering to the principle of the offensive, the commander sets the pace and determines the course of battle, exploits enemy weaknesses, and is better prepared to capitalize on unexpected developments. Professor Robert Ronstadt of Babson College called this the corridor principle in business. He found that successful entrepreneurs launch in the direction of their goals, entering into a corridor of possibilities and opportunities. As they Move down the corridor, other doors, other opportunities appear to the right and left that lead them into areas that they had not originally anticipated. Most success comes in areas different from where you thought it would be. George S. Patton Jr. once said, "In war, the only sure defense is offense, and the efficiency of the offense depends on the warlike souls of those conducting it." The principle of the offensive applies at all levels of the company, strategic, operational, and tactical. No company will survive in a highly competitive environment if management hesitates to take the risks involved in seizing the initiative. No matter what the business, the side that retains the initiative of offensive action forces the competitors to react rather than to proact. Offensive action in the marketplace is vital to achieving decisive results and to maintaining freedom of action. It permits the manager to exercise initiative and to impose his or her will on the competitor. Napoleon once said, "No great battles are ever won on the defensive." Psychologists have determined that the foundation of a positive mental attitude, a feeling of optimism, arises from a sense of control. You have a sense of control when you feel that you are in control of your own life. You feel out of control when you feel that your life is controlled by someone or something else. Most stress arises from a feeling that important parts of your life or your work are controlled by others. In fact, if you want to become your own psychologist, look around your life at the areas that are causing you stress and define for yourself exactly why and how you feel other people or circumstances are controlling you. High-performance men and women have a very high personal sense of control. They see themselves as the primary creative forces in their own lives. They see themselves as in charge of themselves and whatever happens to them. Ineffective people, people subject to negative emotions, excuses, and blaming, invariably feel out of control. They feel that they are controlled by their circumstances, by their bills, by their bosses, by their families, and other things. As a result, they complain and criticize on a regular basis without realizing that they are actually in charge. Action orientation gives you a tremendous sense of control. When you are taking specific actions in the direction of specific goals that you have decided for yourself, you feel powerful rather than powerless. You feel like a master of change. You feel like you are making things happen rather than waiting for them to happen. In times of turbulence and rapid change, you are far better off taking continuous action in the direction of your goals and objectives than you are playing it safe. A sense of forward momentum is absolutely essential for happiness and well-being. It's been said that happiness is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. What does this mean? Well, when you feel that you are moving, step by step, toward the accomplishment of something that is important to you, you feel very much in control of your life. And as you make progress, even very small increments of progress, you feel more and more like a winner. Your self-esteem and self-respect go up. You feel stronger and more confident. You develop higher levels of courage and persistence. You feel unstoppable. On the other hand, when you slow down or stop, you start to feel negative and demotivated. Your morale declines. You're more susceptible to the negative influences around you. This is why you find that all successful people seem to be in a form of continuous motion. They are busy all the time. They are moving all day long. And the faster you move, the more ground you cover. The faster you move, the more people you see, and the better results you get. The faster you move, the more energy you have, and the more enthusiastic you are. The faster you move, the more successful and respected you are by everyone around you. Continuous action orientation is absolutely indispensable to your happiness, success, and high achievement, and it is very much a decision that you make, one way or the other. In military terms, this is often called the principle of the continuous offensive. It is perhaps the best success strategy of all. You become a moving target. You are impossible to nail down. Nobody can take you for granted. You are constantly in motion. If you're not trying one thing, you're trying something else. If one thing doesn't work for you, you've already started on two or three other things. As a result, you put the law of probabilities on your side. you dramatically increase your likelihood of success because you are trying far more and different things than the average person. The largest empire in the world was the Mongol Empire. At its height, the Mongol Empire dominated the territory from the Sea of Japan to the Danube in Europe, including much of China, India, most of Russia, and almost all of the Middle East to the Mediterranean. If it had not been for the death of Genghis Khan and the recall of the Mongol armies from the Danube, they might have swept across all of Europe. However, the Mongols were always vastly outnumbered. Each Mongol army consisted of 20,000 armed cavalry. But because they were so fast on the offensive, because they moved so quickly and used deception so well, they were able to encircle and defeat vastly superior forces time after time. The losers from these conflicts went back home and talked about the Mongol horde, as if the Mongol army was made up of millions of soldiers that had just overwhelmed the opposing forces. But the Mongol armies were never very large. Even today, the population of Mongolia is fairly small. But the Mongols were brilliant at offensive action. They were able to move so quickly and take advantage of every opportunity far faster than their opponents, so that they were able to conquer most of the known world. One of the strategies of the Mongols was called the Mongol Siege. This principle has direct application to your life and work today as we move into the 21st century. The Mongol army would approach a walled city. They would send forward emissaries to arrange a truce and a surrender. If the walled city refused to surrender, the Mongols would surround the city and cut off all supplies going in and out. They would then initiate a series of probes against the walls of the city in different places. Once they had found a place along the wall where a breakthrough was likely, the Mongols would divide their armies into three shifts. They would then begin the attack. One shift, consisting of one-third of the army, would attack at that section of the wall until it was relieved by the next shift, and then by the next. The Mongol siege would go on for 24 hours a day until the wall fell. Once the wall fell, the city would quickly be overrun and fall into Mongol hands. The Mongol army would then proceed on to the next city. The principle of the Mongol siege applies to your life and my life as well. The attitude of continuous, sustained attack in the achievement of any goal that you set for yourself will do more to guarantee your ultimate success than any other decision you can make. The reason people underachieve and fail in life is not because of lack of ability and opportunity. It's because they lack focus and a continuous offensive strategy. In short, they may start strong, but they soon quit and back off and relax. They take it easy. They approach life and work casually. And as Jim Rohn says, casualness in business brings casualties. The key to the continuous offensive, to action orientation, of course, is courage. As C.S. Lewis once wrote, courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point. The good news is that the more clear you are about your objectives, and the more thoroughly you plan your offensive, the more courage and willingness you have to take action, and the more persistent you are in sustaining the action until you achieve the result you desire. Remember, the major reason for failure is the fear of failure. It is not failure itself. Everyone fails far more than they succeed. Charles Kettering, the research scientist at General Electric, once said, "An inventor fails 999 times, and if he succeeds once, he is in." He treats his failures simply as practice shots. Phil Knight of Nike Running Shoes said that the most valuable lesson he ever learned in his life came from a business professor who said, "You only have to succeed the last time." You can fail countless times, but one great success wipes away all your failures. Many writers will write books and submit them year after year, accumulating hundreds and even thousands of rejection slips from publishers. But then, a book will be accepted and will become a bestseller. Forever after, the writer will be a hero or heroine to the people within his or her personal and business life. All the years of frustration and failure are wiped away by one great success. In Operation Desert Storm, the military command spent 6 solid months in planning and preparation before launching the aerial bombardment. After 30 days of aerial bombardment, they stopped and asked the Iraqis if they would like to surrender and withdraw from Kuwait. When the Iraqis spurned the offer, they launched the ground attack. Of course, the ground attack had been in preparation for months. When it was launched, 330,000 Allied soldiers slashed across the Iraqi desert like a sword and cut off the entire Iraqi army at Basra, bringing the war to a swift conclusion in just 100 hours. But after all the aerial bombardment, in the final analysis, it was the willingness and the ability of the Allied forces to take the offensive that settled the issue. In business, what we have found is that companies that spend more on research and development, constantly upgrading and improving their products and services, are vastly more successful over time than companies that continue to sell a successful product or service without innovations or improvements. There seems to be a direct relationship between the percentage of sales that is committed to ongoing research and development and to the long-term growth and profitability of the company. Business researchers have found that the most successful companies have a higher rate of new product introduction than the less successful companies. Companies like Rubbermaid, for example, introduce a new product every single day. These products are developed in conjunction and consultation with their customers and their customers' specific needs. Most successful companies aim to have 80% of their sales in any given year coming from products that have been developed in the last 5 years. Of course, the failure rate on new product introductions is about 80%. In any given year, thousands of new products and services will be brought to the market. Fully 80% will fail, even after the most exhaustive market research and testing. Of the 20% that succeed, about 75% of those will be reasonably profitable, and perhaps 1 out of 20 will be a big hit. Every effort is made to improve these odds. But in times of rapid growth of knowledge and information, rapid expansion of technology, and increasing competition, these odds seem to hold true over time. What does this mean? It means that individuals and companies that want to be successful in our competitive marketplace have to play the game by the new rules. And the new rules are that you must be on the continuous offensive. You must be continually advancing, moving forward, trying new things, introducing new products and services, and new ways of selling and marketing those products and services. If you're in sales and you want to make the next 12 months the best 12 months of your life, if you want to double your income, here's a simple technique that seems to work for everybody, anywhere. Just make a decision today that you are going to call on 100 new prospects as fast as you can. Don't worry about whether or not you make any sales. Develop a very simple introduction and sales presentation. Don't play games. Introduce yourself, tell them what you're selling, and ask them if they're interested. If not, ask them why not. If they are, immediately get them whatever information they need to help them to make a buying decision. But the most important thing of all is that you don't worry whether or not any one of these contacts turns into a sale. This attitude of yours of wanting the business but not too much will relax both you and the customer. It will enable you to learn about your business and its strengths and weaknesses faster than you can imagine. More than anything else, this attitude will enable you to make calls and open doors that you may have been reluctant to approach if you were preoccupied with making or losing a sale at that moment. In business, the one thing we know is that whatever business strategy you are currently using, it will stop working sooner or later. Whatever form of advertising or promotion you are using, if it's successful, it will soon be copied by your competitors. You have to keep asking yourself, what is my next miracle going to be? You must be continually putting yourself on the offensive, continually seeking for new ways to take the initiative and take control of your forward momentum. There is a simple formula that you can use to become more effective on the offensive. It is called the GOSPA formula, and it is used for strategic planning at both the highest levels of business and at the simplest levels of personal success. The 5 letters stand for goals, objectives, strategies, plans, and actions. Let's take them one at a time. Goals are the final end states or results that you plan to attain. A goal is a destination. It is clear, specific, and time-bounded. Once it is attained, you can then go on to the next goal. As I mentioned in the last session, your ability to be perfectly clear about exactly what it is you want and what it will look like when you attain it is essential to your unlocking your mental powers. For example, a good goal for you is to double your income within the next 2 or 3 years. Is that a good goal? I think it is. Doubling your income will probably do more to help you achieve more of your other goals than the attainment of any other aim or purpose. Clarity and specificity with regard to your goal is the starting point. The second letter, O, stands for objectives. These are the various things that you will have to do, the steps that you will have to take in order to attain your goal. There may be one, and there may be several. For example, if you want to double the sales and double the income of your entire company, there are a series of objectives that must first be achieved. If you want to double your personal sales and your personal income, there are several objectives as well. To double your sales, for example, you're going to have to either double the number of people you sell to or double the amount you sell to each person, or a combination of the two. That is one objective. Another objective that comes before may be to double your skills and abilities in a particular area, such as prospecting, presenting, or getting referrals. What objectives will you have to attain in order to achieve your goals, especially a goal like doubling your income over the next 2 to 3 years? Whatever they are, write them down. Organize them by importance. Which are more important and which are less important? Organize them by priority. Which need to be accomplished immediately and which can be accomplished later? Even in planning a major military offensive, these are the steps that need to be covered. The next letter in the GOSPA formula, S, stands for strategies. These are the different ways that you can go about attaining the objectives that must be achieved in order for you to accomplish your goal. For example, a company that wants to double its sales may decide to double the size of its sales force. That is one strategy. Another company in the same industry may decide to train its people more intensively and double their sales skills and abilities. That's another strategy. Another company may decide to outsource the entire prospecting function to a telemarketing company that specializes in prospecting for this type of product or service. This is yet a third strategy. When you use the GOSPA model, you are continually doing what is called a SWOT analysis, SWOT. The word SWOT stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. What are the strengths and weaknesses of each of your strategies? What are the strengths and weaknesses of each part of your organization relative to a particular strategy? What are the opportunities in the marketplace, and what are the threats represented by changes or by competition? Two of the major mistakes in thinking made by business people today are, I want to, therefore I can. Many people confuse desire and ability. Just because you want to do something doesn't mean that you are capable of doing it. Many companies that try to get into different businesses or industries end up losing enormous amounts of money because they find that they simply do not have the ability to be in that particular industry. You have to be perfectly honest with yourself in deciding whether or not you have the ability to carry out a strategy before you embark upon it. Just because you want to doesn't mean that you can. A second thinking mistake that people make is they conclude that because I need to, I can. Individuals and organizations need to compete effectively against other companies offering similar products and services in the same market. But just because you need to in order to survive and thrive doesn't mean that you are able to. You must be very honest in this area, or you can cause yourself tremendous difficulties. What are your strengths? What are your opportunities? What are your unique capabilities? What can you definitely do if you decide to do it? Be perfectly and unflinchingly honest and objective with yourself and your abilities, and with your situation. Jack Welch of General Electric once said, "We will be first or second in every market we go into, or we will leave that market." He went on to say, "If you don't have competitive advantage, don't compete." The point he was making was that, unless you have the ability to do something in an excellent fashion, you should not commit resources to doing it in a halfway fashion. Some of the smartest individuals and organizations are those who deliberately decide to abandon a particular industry or market so that they can focus their resources in an area where they have the ability to achieve leadership. The fourth letter in the GOSPA model, P, stands for plans. Once you have clear goals and you have established the objectives necessary to achieve the goals, you select the strategies you are going to use to achieve the objectives. Then, you plan out each of your strategies. The 20-80 rule applies to planning. The 20% of the time that you spend planning and thinking about what you're going to do before you take the offensive will be worth 80% of the value of the results that you eventually get. Plans are fairly simple to organize. Simply brainstorm a list of every single thing you can possibly do to carry out the strategy. Write it all down. Review the list after a day and add to it. Keep adding to your list until you can think of nothing else that you can possibly do to carry out the strategy. Then, organize the list in terms of importance and priorities. What comes first and what comes second? What is more important and what is less important? The last letter in the GOSPA model, A, stands for actions. These are the specific activities that you are going to engage in to carry out the plan, to fulfill the strategy, to achieve the objective, to obtain the goal. Actions are specific, measurable, time-bounded, and assigned to particular individuals. Someone is responsible. Nothing is left to chance. Everybody knows exactly what they're supposed to do and when and how they're supposed to do it, and how it will be measured. Everybody knows what everyone else is supposed to do as well. The time that you take to think through and plan the attainment of your major goal will yield rewards out of all proportion to the effort that you put into it. Even though the plan will change as soon as it is launched, the very act of thinking through all the details will assure a far higher probability of success than if you had launched before considering everything that could possibly go wrong. One of the qualities of successful people is that they do not necessarily make the right decisions every time, but they make their decisions right. One of the advantages of a continuous action philosophy of being on the offensive all the time is that you get more and faster feedback than any other way. After convertibles had been out of fashion for some years, Lee Iacocca, the president of Chrysler, wanted to find out if there was a market for a new Chrysler convertible. He asked his engineers how long it would take them to get him a convertible that he could drive around in. They told him that it would take about 2 years. He explained to them that he wanted it immediately. They could take a blowtorch and remove the top of an existing car, and that would be fine for him. Lee Iacocca then took his new convertible and drove it through the streets of Detroit. Everywhere he went, people waved at him and smiled. That was all the market research he needed. He went back to the plant and ordered them to produce a convertible, which then became a tremendous market success. Peak performers are famous for rapid action. They then get immediate feedback and self-correct. When they acquire a piece of information that contradicts their previous ideas, they immediately incorporate it into their existing information base and change if necessary. They are moving targets. They seldom stop for any period of time. Managers who practice the principle of the offensive are in continuous motion as well. They are moving and intermingling with their staff on a regular basis. They are out among them, getting their questions, ideas, problems, and feedback moment by moment. They always know what is going on because they always have their hands on the pulse of the business. The most successful sales managers spend 70% or more of their time in the field with their salespeople calling on customers. As a result, they are very aware of what their salespeople are facing, of what customers are asking for, and what questions or problems exist in the marketplace that the company needs to change or correct. During World War II, General Erwin Rommel was known as the Desert Fox. Rommel was one of the best generals of the 20th century. His strategy was continuous action, continuous offensive. When he was sent by Hitler to North Africa to support the Italians against the British knew he was coming but weren't worried. They assumed that it would take him several weeks to unload his troops, tanks, and munitions and begin moving toward the front. But that was not Rommel's style at all. As his men, tanks, and trucks came off the ships in Tripoli, he immediately launched an attack at the British positions. As more men and tanks came off the ships, they were rushed forward. This caught the British totally by surprise. They lost almost their entire armored division in the desert and fled back to Egypt. And although he was always outnumbered, Rommel's unrelenting, continuous offenses disconcerted the British at every turn. Perhaps the most important part of the principle of the offensive has to do with your projecting forward 3 to 5 years and deciding where you want to be and what you want to be doing. Most importantly, what steps are you going to have to take in order to be in a position to achieve your goals and objectives 3 to 5 years down the road? For example, if you own your own business, one of the questions you must ask and answer is where you want your company to be and how you want your company to be known 3 to 5 years from now. How do you want people to talk about you in the marketplace? What size of company do you want to have, and what size of a reputation do you want to earn? What kind of people do you want working for your company? And what kind of customers do you want as your clients? What kind of people will you need to hire and retain? What kind of sales and levels of profits will you require in order to achieve your long-term strategic objectives? As an individual, you must see yourself as self-employed. You must see yourself as the president of your own company. You must see yourself as the head of an entrepreneurial company with one employee, yourself. You have one product to sell in the marketplace, your services. Your job is to sell the greatest quality and quantity of your services in an ever more competitive marketplace. What do you have to do to achieve your goals today? What skills and abilities will you have to develop? And what steps will you have to take to achieve your goals and objectives in the months and years ahead? As Michael Kamy, the strategic planner, once said, "Those who do not plan for the future cannot have one." The ability to set and achieve strategic objectives is the key skill and the ultimate test of leadership. Leadership is action, not position. Leadership is performance, not planning. Leadership is results, more than anything else. Your ability to think through what you want to accomplish and then to take action in the direction of your goals and dreams continuously is the key to your success. No great battles are ever won on the defensive. At the Battle of Issus in Asia Minor, or what is modern-day Turkey, the armies of Alexander the Great met the armies of Darius of Persia in a major conflict. Darius had lined up his armies on one side of the river along the riverbank, while Alexander approached the scene of the battle from the other side of the river. Darius had his forces stretched out for about a quarter of a mile along the riverbank, with his heavy infantry massed in the center of the army and cavalry on the flanks. He expected Alexander to approach on the other side of the river and then arrange his army for battle. Alexander would have to cross the river and attack up the bank, which Darius realized would put Alexander at an extreme disadvantage. The two generals had never met in battle before. However, Alexander had tremendous courage. He was never known to be afraid of anything. He also had the ability to move so fast that no one around him ever got a chance to think about being afraid themselves. Alexander sent scouts forward who came back and reported on the deployment of Persian troops. Alexander then sent messengers up and down the army as he led them forward. When they arrived at the scene of the battle, instead of stopping and organizing his forces, Alexander's cavalry, with himself at the lead, attacked off the march. The Persian forces, arrayed along the far bank, were standing around, some of them eating lunch, watching the opposing troops come up. Suddenly, Alexander and his 6,000 Macedonian cavalry attacked across the river and struck right into the center of the Persian army. Alexander always believed that the enemy was the weakest at its strongest point. He felt that wherever the enemy was protecting the most heavily was where he could achieve the greatest psychological advantage by striking it first. The Persian army was arrayed around the person of Darius, the king, and this is where Alexander attacked. The Persian army was taken by complete surprise. Meanwhile, the Macedonian cavalry at the end of the army had crossed the river and were sweeping down the bank on the left flank of the Persians. Suddenly, from a relatively calm day, there were Macedonians not only in the center of the Persian army, but attacking from the outside as well. The Persian army broke up in complete disarray and confusion. Even though the Persian army numbered more than 50,000 troops, and Alexander's army was just over 22,000 men and cavalry, the Persians were completely defeated in less than 2 hours. Dorothea Brand, the author, once wrote these wonderful words about courage and success. She said, "Decide exactly what you want, and then act as if it were impossible to fail." Your desire, your aim, your goal is to be a big success. Decide exactly what your goal is, and sit down and make a plan to attain it. Then, take action, and continue taking action relentlessly until you overcome all obstacles and eventually win through. Action orientation is and always has been the most obvious and observable quality of all successful people. And you can develop it if you decide to do it. Nothing can stop you but yourself. And there's no better, faster way for you to break through the success barrier than by attacking it head on. As Michael Jordan says, just do it.